Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
On the show tonight, country artist Robbie Johnson. He's getting a lot of attention, airplay, and over 2 million views so far on YouTube with his song, South of Me. The song was written by Robbie along with Nashville hitmakers Frank Myers and Anthony Smith. Robbie finally took the chance at pursuing music when he received a paid demo session as a Christmas present one year. That led to a trip to Nashville to record more songs. Eventually, he made the permanent move to Music City. My pleasure to welcome Robbie Johnson to the show. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, everybody. Hi.
It is great to have you here. Of course, we broadcast live from Ontario, and you are originally from Canada and spent a lot of time growing up in Quebec.
Exactly. I'm French-Canadian. I was born in the province of Quebec and grew up there, but I managed to learn English.
Yeah, there's no accent.
Well, I have most of my relatives live in Hartford, Connecticut. So most of my summers I would spend in Hartford, Connecticut, and also the winter vacation, you know, for the holidays, all the Christmases right. And New Year's Eve. And I don't know, when we were kids, you know, we were drawn by American culture. And even though we were in Quebec, we would always watch American television. So that's where I got the accent.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, definitely growing up, American television crosses over here, of course, and we get influenced by it. And then that's pretty amazing. Now, what were some of those influences? Let's talk about, in a musical sense, Robbie, when you were growing up in Quebec and spending your summers in the States, who were some of the artists that you listened to and were inspired by?
I would say that, you know, it's funny because I pretty much like every genre of music. I was drawn into by Michael Jackson, of course, but also my mom would listen to country music, you know, and Kenny Rogers, Johnny Cash. But I would say that the biggest influence that had a huge impact in my life is Garth Brooks. And I was so happy to hear today that he's going on a world tour. That is so exciting.
Yeah.
He was the most, you know, he was the biggest influence in my life. And I would say that the reason I'm doing this is because of Garth.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, and Garth is, I mean, for so many years, and as you said, he's about to tour again, such an entertainer. He's, you know, he puts on almost a rock show at a country event, one stage to the next, swinging out into the audience. And, of course, the songs he does they're either really so fast you can barely keep up, or they're heartbreaking ballads. Whatever he does, he just does it full force.
Exactly. Well, every time he starts singing, it's a happening. You know, there's something happening. You're just drawn into it. And that's, you know, there's only one Garth. But if there's someone that I would like to approach in terms of a career, it would be Garth. But there's only one. But if I could get 10% of what he did, that would be awesome. Even 1%, that would be cool.
Exactly.
He's really amazing.
And of course,
I'm saying that. He influenced me. I was saying that because at one point I was there was a 40th anniversary at a campground, and I did impersonations of Elvis and also of Garth, and I sang the dance, but in French. I had translated it in French, and I decided, you know, if I do the dance, I might as well do it like Garth and give everything I have. I got. So I sang it and gave everything I got, just like Garth would have done it. And actually, people started crying in the audience, and that's what told me, you know, this is something. You can do this, and it was an eye-opener, and it's kind of because of Garth I'm doing this.
Wow, what a great story, Robbie. And I mean, the dance is one of his most powerful songs, and, you know, I could have missed the pain, but I've had to miss the dance. It is a song about life, and that's so amazing. Now, at what point did the paid demo session that you got as a Christmas present happen? I think that's so cool. It's obviously somebody who believed in you and wanted you to get that demo done.
Exactly, because I wasn't, you know, I was a sales rep on the road, and I was just doing my thing, working for my family and getting, you know, food on the table, working hard. And I would sing, you know, around in the house, and I would write some songs and sing them in the shower and do those little things there and at the campground, but nothing serious. I never thought I was an artist. And but my wife, she knew better, so that's why they bought me that present, a studio.
Wow.
Session in a studio to cut one demo. And it's funny because at first I thought that was the worst Christmas gift ever. Like, I'm not an artist. But then after we did the demo, I came out of the studio and I said, man, this is what I want to do. This is what I've been searching for all my life. Because at that point in my life, you know, I wasn't truly happy, and she knew that, and she thought she had to do something with it. So she just gave me that little push, and here I am, 2 million views on YouTube, and radio is spinning my song, and it's really cool.
Wow, that is so cool, and it's amazing that, like you said, it takes somebody to give us that push sometimes. We got the talent,
yep,
whatever, but somebody believes in you and actually takes that, and then you find out this is what you really want to do. What was the song that you did for that demo, Robbie?
It was a feel-good song I had written, and it's funny because the second verse wasn't written at that point when I got the gift, and I had to come up with a second verse fast. It was the song I'll Be There Rocking and Rolling. So it was just a song for everybody in that studio to have fun that day, because it was kind of, you know, a southern country rock song. And that's all. I had no apprehension. So it was just for everybody to have fun. And when I started singing and, you know, starting doing pre-production, they were like, oh, my God, where are you coming from? What are you doing here? You should be in Nashville. Come on, this is really good. And there's something in your voice. I don't know. You just,
right,
you sound like the majors in the country business. So, but even then I thought, no, I'm not an artist. It took a few weeks for me to you know, decide to make the move, and I'm happy I did it.
Well, it's pretty amazing. From that demo and all those people that day who heard it, and obviously afterwards, you ended up going to Nashville to record some more songs and then move there eventually. So what was the time span on that? Like, when did that demo happen to the time you moved to Nashville?
The demo happened about, I would say, 2 years ago, and then it took a few weeks for me to finally put it on YouTube and then create a Facebook account, Facebook page, not a page,
right.
Facebook page, yeah, and then it just, in a month and a half, I had 5,200 friends, and amongst those friends, there was Tom Roach, who is handling Nathan Hosman's career. And he just presented me to Jimmy Nichols, who's Faith Hill's MD, and before he was with Reba. And so that's how it started. But I would say that it took about, from that demo, you know, that's 2 years ago. But then for me, the time to figure everything out, it's been a year.
Yeah, so that's a pretty quick turnaround for somebody who didn't know that this is what they wanted to do, to actually moving to Nashville, and you've got like 12 songs recorded. So I think that's pretty fast moving.
It was pretty fast, and it's funny because when I started, everybody was telling me, you know, you're not going to get, you know, A grade A songs. No writer is going to let you see his, you know, A catalog. You're going to get B songs and stuff like
right.
that. And I said, no, I'm here to, you know, to do a great album. That's what I want to do. And 4 months later, I have these incredible songs, 6 co-writes with hit songwriters, and also great songs. I have a couple songs written by Frank Anthony and Chris Young, who's a great writer, respected writer,
yeah,
here in Nashville. So I was fortunate enough to get those great A songs.
And the hit songwriter, he is with the hit, Chris Young, the song Tomorrow, which is one of my favorites. Doug Stone's recorded his songs, Alabama, Reba. John Michael Montgomery, a little song called I Swear. I mean, that's only scratching the surface, Lone Star. I'm Already There.
Oh, yeah, Front Porch Looking In. And it's cool. You know, there's always great stories behind those songs, and it's always nice to hear those stories.
Oh, I bet.
He's a great writer, great lyricist, and great. He's good with melodies as well. You know, it's always good. We wrote a couple songs on my album with him, and there was Billy Montana, Anthony Smith, of course, Danny Wills, so who wrote Check Yes or No, George Strait. So
yes.
It's really amazing. So, you know, that's the thing. You know, I have 2 million views, and it's really doing great, but I didn't do this by myself. There's a team behind, and, you know, great writers, great producer, because Frank is a producer on the album, Jimmy Nichols, you know, great producers, great session players who brought their imagination on the track and their gift. So, you know, I'm not doing this by myself. There's a great team behind me, and I'm fortunate and thankful for that.
And that's great that you acknowledge that. And, of course, it's always the case, right? It's the artist is the one we see. We see the singer, but there's so many other people, the songwriters, producer, that contribute to that success. And, of course, the song South of Me, which we're going to hear in a few moments, Frank Myers, Anthony Smith, and you wrote that song. It's a terrific one. Was that an obvious choice to put out there as the first thing to introduce you, Robbie?
Yes, because, you know, it's different. And also there's a great vibe to it, and also it enabled us to do a really nice video to showcase, and that it was pretty obvious. We have great, and also we have other great songs that we are in, just we can't wait to release them, but we have to wait, but we have other great songs that are going to be even better, you know, country rock, and it's going to be pretty cool ride.
Yes, definitely. And people can head to your website, robbie-johnson.com, Robbie and a dash in the middle, johnson.com. And there's a music samples page. There's 6 songs in total people can check out to get an idea. And, of course, South of Me, available for download and purchase at iTunes and through your website. Let's turn to the song now, South of Me. Maybe tell us a bit about the video. People, of course, 2 million views already and counting, and that's happened over a pretty short period of time. So if people haven't watched it, go watch it. But what can you tell us about shooting the video?
Shooting the video was pretty amazing. We went in Jamaica to shoot the video, and like I said earlier, you know, it's a teamwork, and video director was Ryan Smith. Ryan Smith has directed number one music videos for Avril Lavigne, Simple Plan, Eminem, Jason Aldean, My Kind of Party. So he knows his stuff, and he's a great,
yeah,
you know, video director. And so that's another reason why we're getting, you know, a response on the video. And it was pretty cool, shot in Jamaica. We had the perfect weather. Everything was perfect, and it was pretty awesome.
It looks great. It's a great-looking video. And let's hear the song now, Robbie Johnson. This is called South of Me on In the Country. Soft skin, And that is my guest, Robbie Johnson, and his fast-rising single and video at YouTube with over 2 million views so far. That is South of Me, his website, robbie-johnson.com, and you can download the song at iTunes. Robbie, it's got a great sound, as you said. There's just a really cool vibe to it.
Exactly. And, you know, when we sat down with Frank and Anthony to write the song, we started from the idea South of Me. And he said, you know, let's do a vibey, cool song. And we just went along and played, and it was really cool. And a couple hours later, we had a great song. It was fun.
Pretty magical, isn't it, when you sit down and maybe ahead of time you don't necessarily know what you're going to write about, and 2 or 3 hours later you got a product like that.
That's the most amazing experience. You never know what you're going to write about. You know, you come with ideas and some great hooks, but you never know what you're going to write, and you never know where your song is going to go when it's a co-write, because, you know, you have to work together and go in the same direction. So sometimes
right.
you think of a hook line and you think of a story, but then it goes a totally different way, but it's cool because it's creating, and it's really an amazing experience. You know, when you work with Anthony and Frank, you also learn a lot. So it was double whammy for me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you've learned from writing with huge hit makers like Frank and Anthony. Little tricks along the way, or little better ways to write a song?
It's show, don't tell. So show the picture, don't say everything. Just show it in the, you know, use the words to, how could I say this, where instead of saying you're in a house, just say it so that people know you're in a house and they can paint the picture and use their imagination. So that's really it. And also it's important to place it in time, and also to know where it's situated in time, so that you have a reference. So it's I would say that's the most important. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and so much to learn, and of course a lot of it comes naturally when you have that ability.
Yeah.
The song can kind of flow out of you. And we were talking about before we came on the air, a great song that I love that Frank Myers wrote. I believe it was one of his first in the early 80s, Eddie Rabbit and Crystal Gale, Just You and I, You and I think is the title. It crossed over to
yep.
other easy listening stations as well as country. Beautiful song. Do you have that's a great duet. Do you have a dream duet partner, Robbie, somebody in the business that you're itching to record with?
Oh. Well, I mean, Carrie. But I would because I have a song, and it's a goofy song. It's the verse chorus song, and I would just love to sing that song with, it wouldn't be a duet, you know, male-female. It would be with another male artist, but
right.
I would just love to sing it with, I would say Garth, because he's my favorite, but, you know,
yeah.
George Strait, or, you know, one, because the song mentions something about, you know, the man in the hat in the back of the room, meaning, you know, someone who knows country, who's seen it and knows how it's done. And
right.
I would just love to do it with someone, you know, like George Strait or Garth Brooks. That would be pretty cool. Or maybe even Alan Jackson. I really like Alan Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Those are all great artists who've been around a long time and definitely know country music.
Exactly.
Do you have a song, Robbie, that... Yeah, yeah. Do you have a song that you think is really a good fit for an artist out there? So have you tried pitching songs in that way, writing a song and then trying to get it to an artist, or at least think that you've got one that would be right for someone?
No. All the songs, well, we do have one that I was, because Garth is a huge influence, so it's sure that, you know, songs that I've written myself are really close to Garth, and of course I'd like to pitch songs to Garth, but I don't know if he's going to release new material, but that would be a dream come true, because
right.
he's such a great singer, and he could sell a lyric like nobody else. You know, if there's someone out there you have to look at and try to do what he's doing as Garth, because he can sell a lyric like no one else.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. You believe it when he sings it. If he's having a fun time or
exactly.
a crazy time like Papa Love Mama or the dance, the river, all those. Yeah, you're right. You believe every word he's saying and you get drawn into it.
Exactly. So he would be
now,
he would be my first pick, but, you know,
right.
I haven't thought of that yet. So
just thought I'd see if you had any of those songs. I know you do a lot of writing. Now, just going back to something you alluded to, and I know it's in your bio, you were a sales rep and decided that music was what you wanted to pursue. That takes a lot of courage, I would think. And maybe you felt you had no choice because you had to do it. But for people out there who, you know, I'm sure that's a scary thing to contemplate, giving up a job to pursue music.
It is, because it was a well-paying job, and, I mean, sometimes you just need to take a leap of faith and believe it, and we just believed it, and, you know, all the indicators before we made the decision were telling us that it was looking good, and it made a lot of sense, and we just believed it, and many people believed it and was encouraging us, so we just took the leap of faith and did it, because... You know, you can't do both at the same time.
True.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be in Nashville and have a, you know, a job as a sales rep in Quebec. So that wasn't working. So
exactly.
We had to take the leap of faith, but you know, I think it was a good call.
Definitely, and I also like earlier, and I wanted to pick up on what you had mentioned about social media, and you posted the demo online on Facebook, and I mean, that's, I guess, the world we live in today, but at the same time, you still obviously have to have a good product or it's not going to be noticed, but it's pretty amazing that you put that out there, and that's what led to getting connected with Jimmy Nichols, the big producer, music director for Faith Hill, and many other accomplishments. Pretty amazing that you can do that.
Yes, but still... He tested me. It wasn't that easy.
Right.
I got in touch with him and flew to Nashville, and without any notice, he put me in a studio behind a mic, and he started testing me because, you know, if he's going to produce me, he wants to know what I've got, and he's not going to put his name on something that's not of, you know, his quality, because you're as good as the last thing you do. So he tested me. It was rough. But I managed to do it. I passed the test.
In what way?
Same thing for the,
you
know, for writing too.
Was it? Was it just sort of a test on singing to see how well you sang, that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. How it sounded.
Yeah.
You know, also what kind of human being I was, and
right.
you know, was I there to show everybody how good I am, or was I in Nashville to learn? And it, that's the approach I had from the start. You know, I'm a sales rep. I'm not an artist, so I'm here in Nashville to learn. And it's always been my approach, and it's still my approach. And I think that people recognize that, and they like that of me, that I'm not here with, hey, look at me, I know what I'm doing, I'm going to show you how to do music. No, that's not me, you know. Let's do great music together. Let's do excellent music together.
Well, that's amazing because, yeah, that to me seems like it's the right attitude, and you're going to learn, and you're open to learn, and of course these guys can teach you so much. And a guy Jimmy Nichols, what does you know, we all hear the term producer, and a lot of us know, you know, to a certain extent, but with Jimmy, what did he bring to the table as far as making you a better singer or bringing out the best in you in the studio?
Well, he's worked on so many great albums, and he's worked with, you know, Reba. He was MD for Reba, and, you know, I mean, he's been in the business for so long, for so many years. He knows, he's seen records lift, records that didn't work at all, and he knows what it takes to make a good record. So that's what he brought to the table. And also, he knows what makes a great singer. You know, you have to sell the lyrics. And it's not, we don't care about, well, we do care about how you sound, but it's most important is how you sell the lyrics, and that was his main concern. You got to sell the lyrics. It has to be conversational when you sing, and he brought a lot to the table. And I would say that Frank Myers, who's co-producing with Jimmy, is also brought that into it. And he's a great singer. He's the singer Nazi, and he would pound me in the studio and teach me. The good way to do it, and that's what helped make this album so incredible.
I think that's so true what you said. The singer, it's not just about the technical voice, but putting that natural conversation in singing, and also the emotion, and make it believable. Because I think that's what makes an artist like a George Strait or a Garth Brooks, as you said before, as opposed to just somebody who can sing it nicely. You don't, as listeners, we don't get drawn into it as much.
Exactly. You know, you have to believe the story. You have to see yourself in the story. You have to see what's going on and feel it. And if you don't sell it, then nothing happens. And you know, we humans like to consume emotions. That's why we go to the movies. And you know, we like to live emotions. So you need emotion in music. If you don't have emotions, it's just a jingle. It's nothing.
That's so true. So true. The emotion, and especially in country music of all genres, is so much pure emotion in a lot of the songs. You made the move to Nashville, and you are living there. I guess that's a very important part of it, right? Especially if somebody's really going to take it seriously and can do it, Nashville is the place to be.
Exactly. It's the place to be because, you know, things happen. You're driving and you just stop somewhere and you just, you know, meet someone. And from there, it can turn into a write and a great song. You never know what's going to happen. Also, it's important for them to see your commitment. You know, they're not going to help someone that's not here committed to doing this and doing what's right. So when I moved to Nashville, it changed a lot of things. It helped a lot, open doors, and people see your commitment that this is what you want to do, and it's the way to do it. There's no other way.
You must run into a lot of fellow Canadians down there because there are so many of them who have relocated and are living there making music.
Exactly. I've came across many Canadians, and one of them is Eddie Schwartz, and it's so funny because he's the one that wrote "Hit Me with Your Best Shot," Pat Benatar.
Yep.
That was really a cool encounter because he explained us how the song came about, and that was really cool. But yeah, we meet a lot of Canadians here.
That's amazing. Eddie Schwartz had that song, of course, and as an artist, I remember he had a song called "Special Girl." She was a special girl. She was a ballad.
Yep.
I guess sometime in the '80s. But he's done tons of writing. That's so cool that you. And then I love that you have a chance with whether it's Frank Myers or Anthony or Eddie Schwartz that you get to hear the story behind the songs.
the stories. You know, also, you know about the Bluebird Cafe where there's,
yeah.
you know, the rider rounds. It is so amazing. First time I went, I sat down and I looked at these riders and they were singing a hit song one after the other. And I just, it just brought tears to my eyes. It was an incredible moment. And you learn the stories behind the song. And I just love stories. I love when people, you know, share their live stories, and that's really amazing. And the Bluebird Cafe is truly an amazing experience. Everybody should experience that in their life.
I love hearing, as you said, you do, the stories behind the songs. Maybe it's just an artist or the songwriter with their guitar, and they're just sharing how they came up with the idea and maybe the twists and turns along the way to writing it.
Yeah.
And
or how they pitched
yeah,
it or
yeah, exactly.
Weird stories. There are weird stories on how they some have pitched their music.
Yeah, oh, exactly, the way in which they did the how they got the tape or the MP3 to someone. And I'm pretty sure I was at this event, Tin Pan North, which is takeoff on Tin Pan South down in the States, by the NSAI, and Frank Myers was talking about pitching I Swear to a bunch of artists before John Michael Montgomery finally chose to record it, which sounds impossible, but great songs get passed on.
Exactly. Great songs get passed on. You know, you mentioned something about the dance was passed on. You know, it was passed on. And the dance was in a drawer staying there. And you know, Garth had promised Tony that he would cut the song, and he did. He actually did. And it's the rest is history.
Yeah, it's amazing the road that a hit song takes to get there, to climb in the charts. Now, when you're performing live, whether it's at a venue around Nashville, which is obviously where you do most of your performing at the moment, what is it you like most, Robbie, about getting up there and performing? And do you like to chat with the audience?
Well, it depends. You know, it depends. Sometimes the audience, they want to be entertained, so it has to be fast-paced, and you don't talk between songs. If you do talk, you're going to talk over the band playing, not to lose any momentum. But
right.
It's always great afterwards to talk with people and, you know, get their impressions and just chat, and they tell you how they like this song or that song and how, you know, it had an impact in their lives. But that's always the best moment. It's that moment when you have one-on-one with people coming up to you and talking directly to you. That's great. But,
yes.
You know, singing the song and making people move and dance and have a great time, that's also very, very great.
Yeah, it's got to be great to look out in the audience and see that happening. And then to know that one of your songs may be on a more meaningful level, they listen to it, and whether it's South of Me and they miss somebody and that comforts them in some way or makes them feel that emotion, to know that you've had that impact on them.
Exactly. I have a song that's called All That I Am, and I gave it to someone because he had heard the snippet on my website. And
right.
He asked me if he could get the whole song, and I just sent him the song, and he replied and said, you're making me cry all night with that song, but it's comforting. So it's a good feeling. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah, yeah, and even if it is a cry, I mean, that's a good thing, too, because songs that move us allow us to express that, happy, sad, moving. And that song, I did have a chance to listen to the snippet there, too. People should check it out among those other ones at your website, robbie-johnson.com, because it's a great one. Wanted to ask you about cover songs. You mentioned before the dance, Garth Brooks, that had a big impact on you. But these days, do you have a few cover songs that you particularly enjoy performing?
I would say one that I do enjoy is Tim McGraw. Oh, that's so funny because I want to say, that's so funny. Because I want to say it.
Tip of your tongue.
Wow, that's so funny. Just because I want to say it, it's not coming out. I hope
it's
that's
not coming out. I know that can happen.
It.
You can put
I
on the spot.
That doesn't happen next time I sing it. Wow, that is so funny.
That happens.
I like
it.
I love
all the time.
It. Yeah. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. That's the one.
Oh, right, right.
Exactly.
That is a that's a great one.
Yeah, I like the move, you know, in that song. It's really cool and I like it a lot. That's the one. That's the song I like.
That's a fun song. I remember listening to that in the car in the radio for the very first time around the time that it came out. He wanted that teddy bear and just
yeah.
great lyrics in it. It's a fun song. It's a great one. Did you come from a musical family, Robbie, or is this something that you kind of discovered on your own?
I discovered on my own. Well, it's not true because my brothers, too, they play guitar, too. But, I mean, it wasn't like it's a music family, like you said. But I have learned that relatives in my family going in the family tree, they are in the music. So it's in my blood and it's there, but no, it wasn't you know growing up and playing and all that. But we have music in the family. Yes, we do.
Right, right, right. Now for 2014, which is just around the corner, what are your plans? What are you? Of course, an album's on the way, but maybe mention that and what you're hoping to accomplish next year.
Well, we have this single that is, you know, on radio. We want to bring it as far as we can, and then there's going to be the album release in the spring, February. We're going to release the album, and
great.
Hopefully we're going to start, you know, a real tour. Maybe, I don't know. We're doing our best to get as much exposure with radio promotion right now. Create
yep.
the buzz, then have a great tour. That's the goal.
Very
and
exciting. And the song
single.
Is
release a second
yep.
single, of course. But
oh,
you know, it's getting heard, becoming a household name, and being able to go on tour and have a great crowd and have lots of fun.
Well, it sounds great. Well, you're off to a great start with that song, South of Me, because it's a wonderful song, and the video is terrific. And, again, I'm sure we know the 2 million views so far and counting have seen it. But if you haven't, go on YouTube or go to robbie-johnson.com because you can check out the video there as well. The single, South of Me, is available on iTunes. Be sure to grab that. Robbie, thanks so much for being part of the show. Really appreciate you spending the time.
Well, thank you so much. It is really, really appreciated. It's really important. You know, it's what's going to make it happen. So thank you so much. You're part of the team.
Oh, thank you. And my pleasure. It's it's great to speak with you and great to hear the beginnings of a great career. My guest has been country artist Robbie Johnson. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.
Another place, another time.